My mom told me not to talk to strangers on the internet, and I'm glad I didn't listen. We are the Certified Nunas, your sisters in the love of Asian entertainment. I'm Natalia.
And I'm Sky.
And it's just the two of us, okay? And we're here vibing, just two people. Everyone else is busy, so, you know.
Life.
It's us.
Life.
It's life, you know. So we decided, you know, just the two of us for the next couple of weeks. So we're going to do stuff that we want to do. So that's what we're doing. And this is one of our things that we do here, a regular occurrence of the Nunas, where we will watch the first two episodes of a currently airing show, come discuss them, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, blah, 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 blah. And if we're going to continue and, you know, just have a good time talking about a currently airing show. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about Queen of Tears. So if you're watching this, like, really far in the future, like, if you've just found us, like, months after this came out, you're like, oh, I wonder what they thought of the whole show. It's just the first two episodes.
Even at this moment, there's currently six episodes out of it, but we're just talking about
We've only watched two. So that's what we're going to talk about. Because, you know,
it's on Netflix, in case you're curious.
Yes, it's on Netflix. It is a romance melodrama starring Kim Ji-won and Kim Soo-hyun. And, oh boy, okay. Let me set the scene of this drama. We're introduced. This drama sort of is mostly, the first episode mostly takes part, like, from the point of view of Kim Soo-hyun's character, who is a lawyer. And he is married to the eldest daughter of a, like, conglomerate, like, a third-generation conglomerate family. And she runs a department store apart with her family. And they had, like, a whirlwind romance back before he knew that she was, like, a rich lady. And when he found out she was rich, he tried to break it off. But she, like, hunted him down and was like, no, our love is so good. We must. Our love is so magical. And he's like, you're right. You're right. We can defy the odds. But that was years ago. And years of living with
only
her.
Only 3 years. To be
only
exact.
3 years. Yeah, it's three years. That's, you know, several years. And he hates his life, hates his wife's family, and kind of hates his wife. But because he works for his wife's family, lives with his wife's family, and is wholly financially and, like, job dependent on his wife's family, he wants a divorce but can't make himself get a divorce. But he's like, all his friends are lawyers. He has, like, one dude friend that he's always hanging out with and who's, like, trying to, like, talk him through his problems. And then finally he works up the courage after just a shitty day at work, going to see his family out in the countryside, just, you know, whirling it over in his mind after a whole bunch of nonsense. After he decides, I'm finally gonna, like, give her divorce papers. He goes to give her divorce papers, and she tells him that she's dying of a brain tumor. So now he can't. That's, like, the basic premise of this show. Yep. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, go.
All I was gonna say is episode one is very much, like, from his like,
yeah.
They very purposefully kind of tightly show just his side of it. The second one is, I'm not saying it's, like, way more balanced, but it zooms out just a little bit more, it feels
you get
like
a little bit more. And if you're thinking to yourself, oh, like, this is a classic, like, nice guy stuck in a bad situation with a bunch of bad... No, he's kind of terrible, too. Like, the fun part about this show is that as of episode two, they have yet to introduce a likable character. They're all just awful, nasty people. Maybe his mom. The main dude's mom seems nice. But everyone else just seems so just awful and selfish and self-involved, and I'm eating it up. I'm eating it up. I'm loving it. I'm just like, yes. Yes, you're all bad people. I love it. It's so many bad people in it. But, see, I went into this.
But to me, not all of them are like cackle villain bad.
No. They're understandable bad people. Like, they're not out of the realm of reality evil at this point.
Some of them are out of the middle class realm of reality. It is Chable.
Yeah,
level
rich people
bad
evil. But it's like they're not like serial killer like villains, you know? They're just selfish people who make bad life choices and get away with it. I didn't look into a single thing before.
Yeah, I very purposefully.
I didn't know the plot. I didn't know. I didn't watch a preview for it. I didn't know who was in the cast.
Wow.
All I knew were the two main actors. That was it. This cast is wild. Like, this cast is wild. It's like they really
I love a good Park Sung-hoon moment. I really do love a good Park Sung-hoon moment. Anytime he pops up, it's like, I'm paying attention.
But, like, Kwak Dong-yeon, who I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, you like him.
I do like him. He's my phone background. Like, I love him. He's playing her idiot brother. And that man plays idiot better than anyone you've ever seen in your life. Like, he's got it down to a science of how to be just, like, the most dumb person you've ever seen in your life. It's got, like, if you love family, like, Weekenders, and you love, like, the evil mother-in-laws on those... Oh, we got Na Young Hee. She's kicking around. We got Lee Mi Sook. Who? Like, nom. Oh, and then, of course, Park Sung Hoon showing up in episode two as her, like, super rich venture capitalist ex boyfriend. I need it to stop. Okay, it was too much for me. I was like, no.
This is a show that you have to just kind of, you don't have, I mean, you went in blind and you're fine with it. Mm-hmm. But you kind of just have to know that the vibe of the show is all these people are awful. And if you can't handle that, do not pass go, do not collect you. Yeah. Like, do not expect. But also the tone of the show is kind of hard to describe, in my opinion, because
it is a little weird.
There is a lot of tension because there is a lot of course, interfamilial slash business, because same when you're in a Chapel family, right? So, like, you know, a mom doing weird business shenanigans to the daughter, like, doesn't make you feel good. Like, it's E. So there's, like, tension. But then, just a moment later, it doesn't really swing. It's just that the way someone will react will be, like, a little silly. But not necessarily slapstick level, but sometimes it kind of almost, it can get that far. It's interesting. There was a little bit of slapstick, not big, but, like, oh, a purposeful trip. Oh, like, you know, we get some of that comedy, too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an interesting mix of the two things.
It is. What I find interesting about it is that this is clearly meant, like, from what I've seen in the first two episodes, it was very clear to me that they were satirizing, like, traditional sort of familial expectations of in-laws on people marrying into families. But what they were satirizing was that the stuff that this guy's going through is usually what women marrying into other families go through.
So that's my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Is it's essentially gender flipped old K-dramas.
Yeah.
This is backwards Secret Garden as far as, like,
the dynamics.
Like, she runs a department store. She has people, like, walking behind her. Like, just the whole... And then I really enjoyed, you're saying the satire of, like, the family expectations. Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, every dude that married into this family, whenever there is a memorial service, they're the ones that have to cook for everybody.
Yeah.
Not even a single son of the family does.
Mm-hmm.
All of the men that married in, and that is very obviously a take on the society.
Up. Yeah.
Like, that is totally... And then when those guys don't even get to attend the memorial service and are sitting there chatting about it, it's like...
Yes. Yeah, this is so typical.
We know that's a thing.
Yeah, like, this is, like, and there's, like, a further scene where Kim Soo-hyun's character goes to a therapist, and he, like, pours out his heart to this therapist about...
Which, side note, acted by Oh Jung-sae.
Yeah, who's...
so, the like... best.
Just powerhouse cast, okay? Yeah. So he pours out his heart, and then, like, the therapist is giving him, like, nothing. I've got no... no help to give this poor guy. And then when he leaves, immediately calls his wife and is like, I just want to tell you I love you and appreciate you. And his wife's like, fuck off. And like, hangs up on him. Just and I'm just like, this is... Like, it was written by a woman, and you can tell this show is written by a woman.
Yes,
because
really
I...
Can.
Yeah, I feel like a man living in Korean society benefiting... from the, like, the patriarchal structure that exists in not just Korean society, but it's very evident in Korean society, would not be able to come up with this off the top of
Wait, 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 wait. Okay, so the chick that is the screenwriter.
She's a powerhouse screenwriter. But
here's what I want to highlight, and we can highlight I'll highlight the obvious things first. Crash Landing on You, Legend of the Blue Sea, Producers, My Love from the Star. My Husband Got a Family. But I want to highlight her first two dramas that she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Queen of Housewives and Queen of Reversals. And so now we're... And that was back 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. So now we're into 2024, Queen of Tears. It's like, you go, girl.
Yeah,
like,
okay. You know,
you have a theme. You have a theme going on.
I understand what's happening here. Like... I mean, like, those things, none of them are related to this. Like, they're all very different,
no,
like,
but I'm
stories.
Just saying, title-wise, it's, I just appreciated the titles. Mm-hmm.
So clearly her script writing history is banger after banger, right? So, because The Producers was one of the best, like mockumentary series I've ever seen. Like, I really love The Producers, which also has Kim Soo-hyun in it. But, so I've enjoyed, like, a lot of the stuff that she's done. And then there has two directors who, one of them hasn't done much. He did Bulgasol and Entourage.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And then seasons 2 and 3 of I Need Romance. But the other director, Kim Hee-won, she's done so much stuff. She did Soundtrack Number 2. She did Little Women, Soundtrack Number 1. She did Vincenzo.
Okay.
The Crowned Clown. Money Flower. Like,
wow.
And our favorite Jeju Island drama, Warm and Cozy.
kidding.
We, both Sky and I famously...
I warned everybody off of that show.
Famously are not huge fans of Warm and Cozy.
Because it is not either of those things. That's
not either of those things. But I feel like the vibe of Warm and Cozy really comes back, but it's very appropriate for this particular drama. Of just, like, unlikable people doing
and
stuff.
One of them being rich. Rich,
yeah.
Douchey person. Yeah.
But what I sort of like about how the characters are set up in this is that he's actually indispensable to this family as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, yeah. he in the first two episodes, he saves them $8 million. Like, he, you know, runs their legal department at their department store. Like, he's ingratiated himself...
goes and visits and takes care of the aunt
who's in prison. Gets her out of prison.
Yeah.
Prevents her from going back to prison because she clearly has an anger management problem because she assaults her exes all the time.
Women's rights and women's rights. I will say, I love her character.
I do. Out of the family members, she's the only one who you have at this point any real compassion for. Because she's the only one who seems like a human being that
she's being real with her emotions.
Yeah, and she exists in the realm of human beings, and it's very clear that no one in the family, from even just the very few scenes that she's a part of, it's very clear that no one in this family actually respects her either. Like, she's, you know,
she's a very talk about Bruno thing.
Yeah,
she's happening there.
She's the black sheep of this family, keeps going to prison, where they could easily pay off people to prevent her from ever going to prison, but they don't. So he's the only one who's continuously showing up and showing her any ounce of compassion and trying to actually help her and get her to just stop going to prison. So it's really interesting because usually in these sorts of stories, it's like if the partner who's not from the rich family leaves, no one would care. You know what I mean? Like in most of these other Chaebol stories,
they would actually want that person to leave.
Yeah, they would actually want them gone. But in this one, it's like they actually need him because he's keeping their company from legal troubles, which is a very important role in the grand scheme of things. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, they're always like, oh, she should have married like the rich venture capitalist because like he's better for... No, they already had money. Like, they didn't need another person with money.
I will say, so there's one character in the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. Let me go see if I can find this character. It's kind of like, Grace, the secretary.
Mm.
The one that is like the matchmaker type person, but did not, of course, match our two leads here. And like, it really grates on her that she didn't do that. And she kind of keeps popping up and it... Of course, like, our lead gal, character name, Hong Hae-in, like, she hates her. You can tell, like, she just hates her.
Yeah.
So she keeps popping up. I will say, it's obvious Grace is gonna do some stuff. That's obvious. But I'm kinda like, I find it interesting they already introduced that is gonna be a thing.
Yeah.
Though there was already a lot of moving parts, so, like, I just kinda found her random. But I'm sure it's obvious she'll do some shenanigans. Like, there's no way she's not going to do some shenanigans.
Mm. The other aspect of the show in the first two episodes that I found really interesting was when you go to his family, where you would think that, like, his family, the stakes of him divorcing his wife, they would be more supportive of him. But since they live in such a small town, they have a real, like, we don't want people, like, gossiping about our family, so you can't get a divorce vibe to
them. I will
them.
Say, it's his siblings that, his siblings. That say that. His parents don't straight up say that or
no.
anything.
You get the impression from the first two episodes that the mother just wants her son to be happy. That she genuinely cares
happy
about
and
him.
Happy and safe and things like that.
And all of that. The father is dumb. Okay? He's dumb and he does whatever his wife says. That's
despite the fact that he's like the village head or whatever.
But she doesn't, but he's not good at it.
She's like, you need to come do more work. Don't do that anymore.
And like, it's clear that he's incompetent and his wife is the head of this family, you know, that sort of vibe. And then his two siblings are the ones who are constantly pressuring him to do things. Actually, fun little side note, the actor who plays his older brother is only 7 years younger than the actor who plays his dad.
Oh.
So that's fun. That's always a fun situation.
Yeah.
And only 8 years younger than the woman who plays the mom. So, a classic casting case. They were real young parents, shall we say.
Yeah.
But, like, there's so many moving parts that have gone into these first two episodes that it's, like, I'm intrigued to see where it's going. Because, listen, she could die, okay? Because I have seen shows that actually do kill off the person with a brain tumor.
But as far as, have we seen it super recently? Unless it was like a bittersweet type show. And this is not really a bittersweet type show.
Not
so
yet.
Far.
Like the last one, I don't know if I should say it because like, I don't want to.
But I just mean there aren't as many.
Yeah,
there aren't as many that
they,
go through
they
with it.
Do exist.
Yeah, they do exist.
So it's like you never actually know if like.
Whereas if this was a J drama, we'd be like, oh, she's going to die.
She's dead. But, like, the whole brain tumor aspect, I find it so interesting. I especially really did enjoy how they, like, showed mm-hmm. how her brain tumor, like, affects the way that she thinks and perceives the world. Like, how it shows, like, her confusion and, like, loss of time and everything. I thought that was very fascinating. But it also strikes up, like, an interesting question whereupon this brain tumor didn't just appear out of nowhere. It's like you assume that it's been growing for a while. So how much of how she treats him is caused by a brain tumor, right? Because they can completely alter how you act, right? Because she went from being so loving and so affectionate to they
like,
just ignore
no
each other.
Emotion there, essentially. Yeah.
I feel like there's probably more things that went into it. Like, I'm sure that further watching will reveal more things that have happened to explain not just brain tumor, but, like, why they are the way they are at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just like, oh, they got married and immediately she just started being mean to me and her, you know, like, because that doesn't make any sense. Like, she could marry anyone and she was gonna do that. She didn't have to run after him with a
upend
helicopter.
All the expectations. Yeah
exactly. She could be like, if she truly didn't care about who she married,
because that is the thing, like, people kind of, even that Grace person or whoever, like, they kind of keep mm-hmm. bringing up, like, you know, I kind of lost my train of thought with that, but essentially, like, she kind of upended expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, why did she do that still? It's like, it's because she loved him, like, obviously. Yeah. Because she could have done, and I guess that Grace person during that mm-hmm. conversation was trying to be like, she doesn't really love you, never really did. And I'm like,
she clearly
why did she
did.
Do that? Like, obviously, yeah, like, there was no reason for her to do that.
Like, and even when there was, like, a brief scene where it showed, like, their wedding video. And you can tell that, like, she's not a very affectionate person. Like, even from the wedding video, she's like, why do you want me to make this video? It's like, oh, so you can look back at it and, like, see how much you loved each other. She's like, that seems stupid, but okay. Like, so she's not, like, a romantic person at all. But even when she was saying, like, in 10 years, like, you're going to be by my side and we're going to be married and in love, you could tell she meant it. So it's not like this was a con that she was pulling on him.
Right. Or,
you know, like, so clearly they did genuinely love each other. So there has to be more that has happened, obviously. We're two right. episodes in. I don't know what it was yet, but I'm sure there's something.
But I did like how they, when they were kind of showing some of the effects of this brain tumor situation mm-hmm. and how they specifically showed pretty much how and why she missed, you know, like, he was pretty much demanding a meeting with her,
mm-hmm.
and she stood him up completely. And, of course, he was not pleased, and very hurt by it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even know the time had passed because of her illness.
Tumor,
and, like, so, like, it's all a thing. So, like, that was the obvious thing that they explicitly explained.
Mm-hmm.
So it did automatically make you go, how much of this, how much of certain behaviors?
Yeah.
Certain behaviors are, she's not a very affectionate person. Other behaviors are like, what, because it even said it can affect your personality and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, brain tumors genuinely can turn people into a different person. So it's like, how much of this was, like, just her being affected by a brain tumor that nobody knew existed? And then when you think of, like, this brain tumor, the show becomes sort of a lot more sad from her point of view, because she can only trust one person and doesn't realize that at this moment, even though I think a lot of it is just his anger speaking, if we're talking from like a psychological point of view, doesn't realize that he's very happy to hear that she's dying, because that's the crux of what makes him a terrible person, is that he's decided to be nice to her until she dies, so she'll leave him money in her will. Which is...
Well, and I think he is the type of person that would probably be kind of nice to her anyway.
Yeah. Like, he wasn't
going to be
mean to
her. He wasn't going to be mean during that.
Yeah.
But I will say, that sadness tone aspect with her character that's actually, that to me makes the story a lot more gravitas to the story.
Mm-hmm.
But you're watching him kind of be slightly giddy that she's gonna, like, that's,
yeah,
that's why, like, I personally struggled with the show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, and I'm sure as the show progresses, like,
it'll change. Like, the dynamics
on
will
that.
Obviously
I understand
change
that,
otherwise.
You know, yeah. And I am not trying to project certain, like, morality on that. It's just as far as, like, you know, in the first two episodes when you watch a show, it's like, am I connected with characters? Like, oh, this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of kept happening. It wasn't a like momentary moment of weakness,
mm-hmm,
or something. It was like, it kind of kept being a thing for him to, like,
yeah,
be a little far too happy about that.
Yeah. And I feel like he's going to really suffer for that in,
oh yeah,
current, like, later on, because, like, that's just how these shows go, right?
Oh yeah, there's
but
no way.
What I sort of like about it is that the first episode puts you into this expectation that he's just so put upon, and everything is so awful for him, and his wife is so mean. And then when it changes the perspective in episode two, and you get things from her point of view, you realize that neither of them are reliable narrators of what is happening.
Right.
And because she has just as, like, her situation is that, let's be honest, she lives in a loveless family. Like, her family only has one love, and that's money. And her mom clearly favors her brother, who is an idiot and terrible at everything. Her father only cares so much as she shows loyalty to him, and the grandfather's constantly pitting everyone against each other in these ridiculous, you know, games that, despite the fact that she always wins because she's the most successful, the most competent, the smartest, the best at the business, whatever, she never actually wins because the games will never stop going until he dies. And then the father will just keep the games going after that. So you get sort of like this really interesting, like, perspective of a woman who grew up in a family that didn't show her love. And so she has no concept of how a family is supposed to treat one another. And then she marries a man who is the first person to show her, you know, actual affection, and then clearly doesn't know how to reciprocate in any sort of meaningful way, and then gets a brain tumor, which may be further ruining her entire, you know, personality that may have been positive outside of that, and making her feel insane and feel like she's losing everything. And so she's scrambling to, like, one, not let her family know that she's sick, because that shows weakness, and her family does not do weakness. And then two.
And she overtly says, like, if they figured it out, they would just, like, make me go out of the house and just argue over my stuff. They would, like, it would just not go well for me.
And so you're led that her only ally is someone who, at this moment, though I don't think this will last particularly long, otherwise, like, I'd be surprised if it lasts more than a couple episodes.
Yeah, to me, it's already fading a bit. Like, I mean, it's, you can tell. Jealousy is already overriding some of
it. And so, and you can see, like, she doesn't have any friends either, except for maybe her secretary, who, like, is by her side. But that's a, you know, a boss relationship, like a boss subordinate situation that can't be deemed as any sort of actual friendship. You know what I mean? So she's essentially alone, except for him. And there's, like, a moment in episode two where he's this was awful, but, like, it's, like, very dark comedy. So just know if you're going into this, it is a dark, like, comedy.
I think there's even a tag on him
for black comedy.
Black comedy. Like, it is.
Very, very much cynical comedy where he's looking up, like, how often do people, like, survive these sorts of brain tumors? And so he's, like, reading all these, like, miraculous, like, oh, they were given 6 months to live, but they live 30 more years. And he's like, oh, geez, like, how slim are these chances that she's going to survive? And then he falls asleep, and she comes in and sees him looking and thinks of it from the other side, where he's looking up, hoping for a miracle. And she's like, I didn't think you were actually on my side, but now I do. And it was, to me, the saddest moment in, like, devastating, because that was, I think, the first moment where he started to feel a little guilty about how shitty he's being. Like, even though technically he's only being shitty internally, it's like he's telling himself on the inside, like, can I be mean for a minute? And, like, just being as nasty as he can be, but not actually projecting that nastiness outside of his own mind. Like, he's not doing things to make her sicker. He's not foiling her at work. He's not doing anything like that. He's just sort of gleefully internally being like, soon I'm going to be free of this family without having to, you know, divorce her with all, like, the negative things that entails. So he's really coming at it from, like, a real selfish, self-involved point of view before he's actually thought about it from her point of view. But you
just realized if she passed, he would still be locked in that family. Interesting that he assumes that he would have freedom after that, because he really would not have freedom after that.
No,
he would be totally stuck.
I feel like he hasn't quite... That hasn't occurred to the character yet.
No,
because
it's
not just that he lives with this family. He's the head of their legal department for their conglomeration.
And his father-in-law is borderline murderous about people, quote unquote, betraying him when all they want to do is, like, leave the company. Like, they don't actually betray him. They just want it. They're like, I've put in my 20 years. Can I go do something else now? And then he's like,
how dare you?
Ruin them, essentially. And it's just like, no. Bad.
So I don't think that's quite occurred to him yet, that even if she dies,
he'd have to run all the memorial stuff for her. He'd have to be there for all the stuff still.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Because it's not like they can leave the company in the hands of the friggin' son.
Yeah.
You know, Kwak Jong Yeon's character. He's an idiot.
Right.
So this man is stuck, and he has not quite realized it yet. But I'm very intrigued to see, like, where they're going with this. Like, because I want to find out, like, I want to know more about, like, what's been going on. Because we're getting a very narrow view. And because it's the first two episodes, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure even two more episodes, and, like, there would be, like, a lot
of reveals
for that.
But, you know, Just did the first two.
I will say, long episodes, which is not bad. Mm-hmm. Just know that, like, you know, if you're trying to kind of chisel out some time in your day to watch this show, just know that you're talking
over
an hour, 20-minute episodes. So
it's just know long, that. Long episodes, but well acted.
Oh yeah, like everyone did a great job. The suits. Her suits in particular.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, she's looking
fine. Her blue suit is so
wild.
Pretty.
Okay, I'm sorry. Kim Ji Won always looks gorgeous.
Oh yeah.
But damn, Lady Gaga's suit. Hello. Like, are you kidding me with this? It was funny because I watched the first two episodes the day before we recorded. And then I finished the second episode. And I was lying there like, And my husband was like, why you look sad? I'm like, because I want to watch. I'm like, because there's still more episodes out. Like, it's currently airing, but there's more episodes out. And I want to watch them. And he's like, well, just watch them. I'm like, I can't. We only can talk about the first two episodes.
Which, and a show like this, you know that even a couple episodes would, like, change your view of the character. Because you would get more perspectives on stuff. Like, it would affect you.
Which is why I was like, well, why don't you just, like, watch them and not tell anyone? I'm like, I can't do that. One, I'm an honest person. But two,
because we sometimes watch past, but shows like this, it's super hard to do.
Like, I feel like next episode, we're going to get, like, I feel like every episode we're going to get more reveals that, like, just absolutely change how you view these characters. And I think that's, like, a really interesting...
Because if you got even one episode or half an episode that was, like, squarely her perspective, because the second one wasn't really her perspective. It was kind of more just of a pullback of both.
Yeah.
But if you even got, like, a half an episode of, like, just her, like... Yeah, your heart would probably break. Like,
I feel like we're gonna get some, like, devastating information. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I feel like there's gonna be some wild, wild stuff in this. Like, I don't know what yet, but wild
stuff. I will say, like, this is definitely one of those shows you have to hang around for kind of, I wouldn't call it a stinger, but you have to kind of see there's an end scene.
There's like an epilogue-ish.
And like you kind of have to watch it because sometimes it kind of just explains like their kind of courtship or what, you know, like you kind of see it fills in some gaps. I will say for me, a critique of the show would be it was hard for me to be invested in the characters on a personal level because I feel like if they could have just given us just a little bit more that they're showing like in the epilogues and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like it's a fascinating way to tell it. It really is. But as far as like, they didn't front load the emotional investment. They're trying to breadcrumb it a little bit, which is fine, but it's not my preference, I suppose. So there's that. I think it's a fun show. Like you have to be, it is not for everybody.
No, definitely not for absolutely everybody. Not. I think it's fair to say that I probably enjoy this sort of show more than Sky does.
Yeah, like, I will straight up say, like, I did not really like the show that much, but I'm fine with it to where, I was telling Natalia, like, if I only had Netflix as my one, like, my one drama platform, okay, I probably would watch the whole thing, like, because I would have a smaller pool of things to pick from, but since there's a lot of other stuff that I can be watching instead that tickles what I want differently. So like, again, and I think because I'm not quite emotionally invested enough to want to spit again, hour 20-minute episodes. Like, whereas I'm knocking through some like short, I'm watching some shorter episode dramas that I'm able to just like piece through really quickly. Mm-hmm. So like at this moment in my life, investing a lot of time in a drama that's very family heavy, specifically rich, that's not usually like the trope, you know, like I don't love that unless it's just straight up revenge. I prefer, if I'm dealing with chaebol families,
you want to see
I
blood.
Want there to be revenge. Like,
you're like, I want a stabbing, I want, you know,
I want someone to be dismantling this and taking it completely down. Like, that is what I want to be happening.
You want hackers. You want, you know, you want a whole team. You want an Ocean's 11, this shit.
Well, that, in and out. Or definitely like a, like bad guy or something. Like, oh, you know, there's this one guy and he, they don't even know who he is, but he ingratiates himself and then he just takes them down from the, I'm like, yes, that is what I want when I'm usually watching, like, rich people being awful. Like,
whereas, like, me, on the other hand, I cannot wait to watch more of the show. I love watching shows and reading stories, like reading books and stuff, with just absolutely awful people. Like, there's something intensely enjoyable to me about watching awful people being awful.
That's why I keep saying, you gotta go watch Escape of the Seven.
Dabbled. I just haven't finished the first season yet, but I will before the second
you
one.
You dabbled. Because to me, that's like,
there's this level of bad,
and then there's like Escape of the Seven. People are like, totally okay with bloodshed and stuff. Like, they're crazy.
There's like this is like, these people are bad, but they're not out of the realm of like people you've met.
Rich toxic shit is what is
like,
going
this is
on
just,
here.
This is just a toxic dysfunctional family. So like, even people who aren't rich have this sort of toxic relationship with some of their family members. Like, this isn't just exclusive to rich people. They're just using, like, they're heightening it by, like, using a Chabal family as the basis for their toxicity. Whereas Escape of the Seven, that's just, they're fucking insane. They're
just, like, listen,
this is outside of the realm of reality. They're just crazy, okay? They're crazy. But I really like shows with unlikable people in them. I can't explain why. Like, okay, I know that, like, me saying this, it's like a real low bar because I also like shows with likable people in them. And I also like shows with kind of likable and not likable. Yeah, I like everything. But there's something about this show that's really speaking to, like, my enjoyment. And I can't quite articulate what it is, but I think it's because I suspect that we're going to have a definite, like, reversal of his understanding of what their relationship is doing, and I love watching that happen. Because, like,
well, and also, as you mentioned before, so, like, this obviously is not a weekender, but you mentioned weekender earlier, and to me, the family aspects and the dysfunctional family aspects of this, which, again, I haven't really experienced a ton of weekenders, but you have, you have a love of weekenders and the family shenanigans,
like,
thereof.
I do like a good shenanigan family drama, you know, like,
this definitely speaks to that, because it's not that they just show the family a bit, it's like, you'll even see, you know, how the dad feels about the son, and like, his family doing so, you know, the grandpa over here with his girlfriend. You know, just all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, lots of stuff going on.
And I really enjoy that sort of thing. Like, I feel like if I had been old enough to watch in the heyday of, like, General Hospital or something, I'd have been a big soap opera enjoyer, you know? But, like, we didn't have a TV growing up, so, like, I guess I'm making up for it now. Because we legitimately didn't have a television. Because we lived so far in the country that we didn't have any TV channels. So, I didn't watch TV. But I feel like I would have been a very big fan of the old, you know, the soap opera thing. Because, like, I like long, involved, ridiculous stories full of ridiculous people.
Right.
And this is essentially, like, they're not quite as ridiculous as a soap opera. Like, I don't get the feeling.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it soapy.
No.
But I will say the comedy aspects do, like, again, it's obviously not a weekender. But the way they do the comedy aspects, like, for instance, his facial expressions, not often, but once in a while, it's purposefully supposed to be, like, real silly. Like, his facial expression about something. And she hasn't gotten to do that yet, but it kind of makes you wonder, like, if later on, like, if she'll be able to do some
like
of that.
It, this show feels very informed by soap operas. It's made for, maybe you don't watch, you know, soap operas, but for someone who could possibly be the type of person to enjoy a soap opera but doesn't realize it yet, that this could
be a gateway. Is it a soap opera baby step? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a gateway to a soap opera, right? Like, it's priming the pump for the soap opera lifestyle.
It is a really good indicator of, like, do you enjoy family shenanigan, shenanigan stuff? If you haven't tried it yet, this is the one to try to figure it out.
And I already like it.
Yeah. I do like how they didn't, at least in the first two episodes, it hasn't been as obvious as, like, oh no, who's going to take over? It was, like, they talk about a little, but it's not as the same Chable thing that we always hear.
Yeah.
It's more like there's little twists to it. There's a little bit more involvement, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that kind of the family isn't hyper competent to begin with. Like, it's not just that son. It's kind of just like they need to trust each other more. That's for sure, but whatever. Again, I would probably continue on with it more if, like, I didn't have a ton of other things that I'm enjoying more to go invest time in, but
I will definitely be continuing on. Out of just a sheer sense of sick enjoyment, I also was like, I wonder what the age difference between the grandpa of the Chabal family and the dad of the Chabal family
is. Oh, yeah.
It's 7 years. He's 7 years. He's also seven. The grandpa is 7 years older than the guy playing his son. This is a classic caper, really. That's fun. I really like the actor playing the grandfather.
I was trying to remember what I saw him. Like, what?
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Jury-san. Playlist.
He's a Sweet Home.
Hospital Playlist is what I'm remembering him from. He was the sweet old friend mom.
Yeah. But he's been in a bunch of stuff. Like, he's, like, in a bunch of stuff. He's one of the guys that every time we talk about that one actor who's a pedophile that we hate, that I'm like, they could have just hired this guy.
Every time.
And he's actually good at acting, so there's that.
He is. He is amazing at acting.
This is, you know, it's.
Do you have any specific predictions?
Ooh,
I know you kind of talk general things, but anything specific, like about in the family or anything like that?
Well, I think there's probably going to be some shenanigans concerning children. Because obviously they have, like, the whole, like, you have to have, you know, you're required to have this child and you're going to name it this. And it's just like, okay, chill out, you know? So I think that's going to become a bigger deal. I feel like his siblings are going to become more of a problem for him. Mm. But I don't know.
What do you think of Grandpa's girlfriend?
Okay, listen. I am numbered amongst Lee Mi-suk's fans. Every time I see her in a drama, I get very excited. Because she's just so elegant, but also so bitchy in so many dramas. And she's been in so many things. What was the first one I saw her in? I think the first one Yep, I'm looking at it. The first drama I ever saw her in was a Weekender. And it was the You Are the Best with IU and JoJo and Suk. Which is where I was like, I love this evil, nasty woman. I think she's so just such a gold digger in this. But it's like, anyway. I'm excited to see what shenanigans she gets up to.
Because all of a sudden, she was really good at playing that game, and it was like,
Yeah, like, she's very clearly, like, just the ultimate gold digger, you know? And I'm, listen, get it, girl, you know? Get it. You do you. So I'm really excited to see her just continuously annoy the girl's mom, the main woman's mom.
I will say something that I didn't quite understand, but I just wondered if it was just purposefully, like, again, if they're just doing breadcrumb information and then they'll just tell us more later. Okay. Near the end of episode 2, or maybe it's midway through episode 2, our lead gal, she overhears her parents talking, and the mom talks about still grieving some child that she lost.
I don't know if I
missed something. They haven't, like, overtly said anything about that.
I don't think they've. I don't think they've gone into that yet. I think this is another. So I think there's going to be.
They're going to be way more about that.
I think that's obviously going to come into it. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what this show pulls out. Like, I'm just. Because I legitimately don't know where they're going with it. Which is, like, so exciting for me as a viewer. Because often I do kind of know where they're going with stuff.
Well, it's like, you can generally assume they're at least going to be able to eventually see each other's perspectives better. Like, we know that's the general arc that we're eventually hopefully going to see. But as far as the particulars of the family, the particulars of how do you, like, make this relationship better? That's the thing.
I'm just excited to see, because, like, with this cast, I'm going to enjoy it anyway. But the show just feels like something that I'm ready to invest time into.
And I will say, and I'm going to just reemphasize, like, the fact that the woman in the relationship is the one with the power, like, the prestige and the power is, I think that's really nice, because the dynamic is affected by that. I'm not saying that she's been, like, lovely to him or anything, but, like, you know what? You look at classic K-dramas and all those douchey Chaebol guys, they were not kind to the women. Like, they were never nice.
I do like that, because that is what makes this, like, the send-up of not only this sort of drama, but just, like, the culture in general of, you know, like, the patriarchal family setup, in that she's the head of their family, but she's not. The grandfather's the head of their marriage, which is another layer of bizarre in this, you know. I feel like they would just be so much happier if they just lived in a different house.
Yeah, and I will say, like, I did feel real bad for him when he comes in, he gets dragged into a meeting. She's like, pretty much, make these businesses go away within our department store. And he's like, we can't, because XYZ. He's giving his legal advice because he assumes that's what he's there for, because that is his job. And then she just is like, I didn't want to hear it. You just go do the thing in front of everybody. It's not like they were by themselves having this conversation and she was a jerk. It was in front of, but again, I'm like, this feels so much like old K-dramas, and the guy would be saying that to the gal, making the gal feel super shitty. Like, that's totally, so that's what I'm appreciating, the gender flip of that, because I do think that's actually very important to keep in mind about their dynamic. Because it's very, especially from episode 1, you're like, oh, this poor guy. It's like, you know, you gotta kind of remember where this is all coming from and what type of send up this is. Like, it's, it's a little different.
Anyway, I'm excited to see where it goes. So, we'll see.
There's a martial arts director.
Yeah, there is.
That's interesting to me. I want to know what is going to happen with that. But yeah.
Well, I guess we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out.
I'm loving her outfits so much.
I know, they're so good. They're so good. Oh.
But yeah, I recommend for people who think that, you know, you like Chaebol stuff, you like family drama stuff, definitely check it out. Black comedy. I do think that black comedy for a lot of people is kind of a sticking point. So, like, you have to know going in. Black comedy. So
yeah.
If you are the type of person that's, like, tonally, if you don't like kind of comedy around death and stuff like that, that is kind of what's happening here. So, like, might be a sticking point for some people. But acting impeccable, completely.
Unbelievably good. And
16
I'm
episodes.
I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm excited
so
to see where it goes.
It should end near the end of April, so that's not
too far. April 28th should be the last day. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming to another episode of the Certified Nunos. We'll be back next week with another fun episode. Anyway, we hope that you hang out with us then. If you want to hang out with us other places, we also do live streams over on YouTube because all of our episodes are on YouTube. Our episodes are also wherever podcasts can be found if you just want the audio version. And of course, you can go to our website, certifiednunas.com, where every single episode is there with time codes and links to where you could watch the shows or whatever we're talking about. You can check it out there. It's every single episode we've ever done, which is a lot of them. So if you're new, don't worry, you've got a lot that you can catch up on. Anyway, if you want to support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/certifiednunas to join the Certified Found family. They're our found family on the web. We think that they're great, they're the best, and you know, they keep the lights on and we give them little extras, little specific mini episodes, and we have a movie night and it's really fun. We love the found family. So thank you for that. And, as always, COVID and measles still going around. So please wear a mask, wash your hands, and keep enjoying Asian entertainment. Bye.